Welcome to Indie Insider, presented by Blackshell Media. This is the weekly show where we speak with indie video game developers, publishers, and industry professionals about their projects, their stories, and their advice to others. I'm your host, Logan Schultz, and today on the show I sit down with Michael Staniszewski of Plastic, the team behind the new game Bound. Michael and his team have been working in the demo scene for over a decade, working with artistic and experimental games well before digital distribution became mainstream. Now, they've released a new artistic venture within the incubation program at Sony Santa Monica. Michael and I talk about Bound, the speedrunning community, and even his thoughts on virtual reality. Before we get to the interview, however, a couple of quick notes. This show is presented by Blackshell Media, a publishing and marketing firm working to help indie developers reach their goals and new audiences. The company also strives to offer unique, inspiring, and even educational services for developers, publishers, and gamers alike, which is why we get to bring this show to you. Speaking of which, be sure to subscribe to our show on iTunes and other podcast services across the internet, and please leave a review. If you'd like to be a part of the show and share your thoughts, questions, or even request a professional to bring on the podcast, send me an email at logan@blackshellmedia.com or reach out on Twitter at Logan A. Schultz. Finally, special thanks to Michael for joining us on the show, as well as Benjamin Tiso over at bensound.com for allowing us to use his song, Going Higher, in the show. And now, from Bound Development Team Plastic, Michael Staniszewski. Today I'm talking with Michael Staniszewski. Did I get that right?
Yes, that's
all perfect. Right. Great. Michael, you work with Plastic, correct? What's your role there?
I have like one. Okay, so sorry,
you're all right.
A little bit confused because the music started to play in my speakers, and I thought that you were playing the music for the introductory. And I just recognized that it's from like my browser coming, so I had to shut it down. So sorry, that was my introduction.
And no, Michael,
yeah,
you're
so
right.
I'm Michael from Plastic. I'm creative director here, and yeah, we are like a very small studio, and like for the past 8 years, there was just like a couple of us, like 4, and right now there's 9 people. So this is like the scale of the studio.
Oh, that's awesome. So let's go ahead. We'll get to Bound in just a little bit. But tell me a little bit about yourself, Michael. How did you get into video games in the first place?
So yeah, that's a question that a lot of people asks me, because our origins come from demo scene, which is a digital art initiative, like a movement. And originally it started as like a cracker scene. So they were cracking video games for Commodore 64 and Atari. And then they started to put those like very small productions before the game started to play. So they would just announce like who did it. So yeah, we did crack this game. And those like introductory programs get bigger and bigger, and they started to show more of the things. And in time they detached from those games and started to being like single applications. And then they were called demos. So demo scene like came from that. And after like, so for first 15 years, it was mostly like a showcase of programming skills and art skills. And back in these days, like demo scene was huge. And if you would like buy a small computer, like an Atari Amiga, then sure, you would be involved in the demo scene, if you like it or not. So this was like a big event. And like near year 2000, there was like demos appeared that were more like an art than the showcase of programming skills. And we started to work on the demo scene at this moment, so it was like 1997. And we were very, very highly influenced by those demos that were like showcasing some kind of poetry, but was like a very, very bad poetry, let's say. And but the effects, like the coding effects, were starting to like showing some kind of meaning other than just being effects. And this is how we started, actually, from this movement. So for 6 or 7 years, we were making those demos and showcasing on different like events. We called them demo scene parties. And on those parties, there were representatives of game developers, because a lot of demo sceners became game developers, like current big studios, to name a few, for example, like DICE. DICE was mostly founded by demo sceners.
Oh, wow.
Naughty Dog, like the founders of those, like Santa Monica Studio has like technical directors that came from demo scene, like those people, like not the youngsters, but those having like 40 years old or a little bit older.
Sure.
They mostly come from demo scene. But we as a Plastic came from this second stage when the scene was started to being more like an art than just like a showcase of coding skills. So at some point, Sony contacted us, like just they I don't know how, but they found my phone number. Probably
oh,
asked
wow.
other sceners about that. And they were like seeing our stuff that we were doing. And ask if you would do something for PS3. And it was before PS3 was... it was announced already, but it was before the launch. So we got the dev kit, and the idea behind it was to create a demo scene community on PS3 platform. Because like the community was like a strong and was creative, so they wanted to have this kind of community making demos. But the big problem was that PS3 was really hard hardware. It was really hard to program, and there was like 5 teams chosen, and in the end there was just 2 demos produced.
Oh wow.
And one of those was Lingering Shadows. It was our first production.
Right.
Which was like a combination of the like a traditional demo, let's say it like that, with some parts of interactivity. So like Sony approached us and said, it's like, make a demo on the platform, but it should be interactive in any way. So you could just like have any kind of input. It could be like a microphone or a camera or whatever. And then to have this kind of small interactivity. And we made Lingering Shadows, which was like nicely received by the public. It was downloaded a lot of times, mostly because it was like a very cheap production. But it was like a quite nice experience in terms was like a very short, like 30 minutes or something like that. And it gave you like maybe not any emotional punch at all, but it gave you like some thoughts in the end, like what actually I've seen it, what was that. So after that, we like it was like a huge success, and Sony thought that it's like working correctly. So then we should do a next thing, and they said it's like, do whatever you want. and they said it's like, we have this new controller coming up. It was like the Move controller.
Oh, sure.
And we've made Datura, which was like a very, very experimental title in like every aspect. So it was experimental in terms like of technical research on the Move. But also it was experimental in a way that was showcasing like the first virtual reality on PS3. Let's call it like a very, very, like a prototype of virtual reality. But it was like nice. We were using this headset, which was called HMZT1. I don't know if you remember. It was like a headset that was designed to view movies on like on Blu-ray.
Okay.
players. It's like a mostly gimmick, but like very expensive, like $1,000 for that. And
oh, sure, yeah.
And nobody bought it, probably. It was really, really bad because you've seen just like this small square in front of your eyes. But we've attached Move controller to this headset, and we had like this very tiny tracking. And we said, it's like, okay, so probably this is the way to go. It's very promising technology. Sure. And so that was like the technological part of Datura, but Datura was also very experimental in terms of like storytelling, because it was like a very, like the story was not presented to you directly. It was very, let's say, you had to interpret it yourself, like completely.
Sure.
And it was like the order you could like pass it was pretty. It was non-linear, but there were like pieces to you presented, and you had to figure out what's going on in there. But in the end, it was like very enigmatic, because we had like this universal value to showcase in Datura, but actually there was just one person in the world that got it, and he wrote article about it, and it was like precisely what we wanted to show, but it was just like one person in the world, because it was so crazy hard to figure it out.
Sure, wow.
And then after like doing Datura, we were like having this opportunity to do on a PC benchmark, which was something that I always wanted to do, because on PC there's only like the future mark. It was like 3D mark before, and they said, it's like, oh my god, it's like they're doing demos and they're like getting money from that, so it needs to be cool. And we got this opportunity to make the benchmark, which was called Katzilla. You can like check it out, because it's like a pretty cool movie. It's pretty fun to watch.
Okay.
And but in the end, the community of overclockers was really hard to like understand. So the problem was that we really didn't learn the lesson there. So we made the benchmark, but then we started to talk with the community. And we discovered how it works after creating the benchmark. So at some point we knew that we made it in the wrong way, because we didn't concentrate on the things that we should when making a PC benchmark. And then we understand that like the future mark is really making a good job at it. And like this target audience, like the community, is very, very small. So it's like respect to them that they are still doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but while we are doing this, this Godzilla project, it was like an intermediate project to make another thing with Santa Monica Studio. And we started to work on Bound. So Bound was not, from the very beginning, it was not called Bound. It was called the Equality Project, which is really funny, because it didn't have any, in any way, it was not equal for players. So the idea behind it was like this very multiplayer construction that a lot of players play it, and they build the structures based on how they play it. And other players would see this structure and go through those structures, so they would have different experience. And the problem was that it was not equal, because the first players would see nothing and the last players would see everything.
Oh.
So that was like something that we had to kill in the middle. But we had those general ideas on how to move within those structures, and how those structures evolve and so on. And and the most important thing is that we had the story, and the story is the mostly the same that we have in Bound. So it's like I will not spoil too much about it, but it's a
right,
story.
Yeah, we won't spoil anything.
Yeah, but it's like a story about the family. So we had this in the very beginning, and this idea about these crazy structures, and after 3.5 years, we've made Bound. And it was like a crazy road, because from the first design doc that I've made, it was like a 65 pages or something.
Oh, wow,
only,
yeah.
Only 10% preserved.
Yeah, because it just changed so much from that initial kind of multiplayer concept. Wow. So we've gotten the history of plastics. Thank you so much for sharing. It was an awesome story. It sounds like plastic, and you were telling me just a little bit before we started that it's not Plastic Studios, right? It's not. Yes. It's not anything else. It's just plastic.
Yeah, it's just plastic.
Yeah. It's an important distinction. Plastic has always kind of been about this presentation of art in some form or another. Is that right?
Yeah, yeah. That was a very important thing for us, and we'll stay with that, hopefully. So, like, it's because we've like originated from the art culture, and we think that like digital art is something that is still evolving, and we can be part of it. And the thing is that, except for the presentation of aesthetics and sound, we concentrate on the narrative side of what we do. So I personally think that like the interactive medium, let's call it like that, it's not completely, like, I would say, games, mm-hmm. but interactive medium is one of the best mediums to properly tell some stories that are normally hard to do with movies or books even. So that's why we are doing that. And in Bound, I must say that we really accomplished it really, really well, because we are like happy how it works. And there are some issues with, I've seen that a lot of people have problems with the mechanics and platforming, but that's like the other story. But the whole narrative part and how it works on certain people, especially those who share in common the experiences of their lives with the experiences of our player, are really working nicely. So in terms of art that we produce, we are not only talking about the form of the art, but we want to combine the form and the content, so it would be very, very balanced, and then it would be like a good piece of art.
Sure. So how do you go about approaching that in terms of, you know, quote unquote, selling art to gamers in this video game industry, right?
Yeah, it's pretty hard. it's pretty hard because the problem is that what we do is something like, for example, let's take the wine. You have the wine and you have this dry wine that you can't, or for example, whiskey or bourbon, you can't drink that when you're like a teenager. It will be like a horrible experience. You just sure. like learn it with time. And we are like producing a very dry wine.
Okay.
So from what we see on like with the interaction with our fans that are like started to pop in after Bound was released, most of our fans are like people that already has children, like 35, 40, because they completely understand the story and they accept the aesthetics as they are and they understand it. And that's like a very, very problematic thing, because a lot of those people don't play games anymore. And what we are trying to do is to like make people stay with the games after they turn 30, for example, after they have kids and they don't have time for games. So they don't have, like recently it's really nice because there were this year is really good in terms of narrative games, like the serious games, but before that it was like really hard to find something that was like thought-provoking or in terms of content it was something that you could like check without like making a face palm that it's like the story made for kids or like for teenagers and mm-hmm. what I'm doing here. So we would like to change it, because in movies that's very natural that you will find a movie for yourself, because there's like a lot of movies. But for example, my parents, they can go to cinema and that's not a problem because they will find a movie for them. Maybe not like every week, but like every month or like once half a year, for example. But they will find it. And in games, it's pretty hard actually. So the idea is to make this target like bigger, and it's hard to get people informed that wait, you still have games for you to play. And sure. And that's the construction of Bound. So basically Bound is like designed for old people, like very casual people or very bored people that don't want to solve puzzles anymore, because with solving puzzles there is this like very tiny thing. So the puzzle is interesting when you don't know, when you haven't known, knew it before. Mm-hmm. But if you've seen that puzzle for 10 times, then except for being boring, then except for like insulting you in some kind of way, then in the end, it's a work that needs to be done to progress.
Sure.
And that's why we removed most of the puzzles in the game. And it's not like, yeah, I think that probably if you would try to do those puzzles, then you wouldn't be so good at it, and they would transport into work, or even worse, they could be quite frustrating for players, and they would just stop in the middle of the game, and they wouldn't go to the finish. And what we wanted to achieve is that they would play the game in one sitting, like in one evening, and because of that, the story's emotions will translate into you like in cinema. So you go see a movie, then go out of the cinema and start to think about it. It's like, it was a really good movie. So this is what we wanted to have, like to have a one sitting game experience that you would think about it. And I think in this case, we achieved it really well, because like we've seen those people crying on the streams.
Yeah.
But still, like mechanically, they still wanted to have this kind of challenge in there. And this is something that is really hard to inform those players that if we would put challenge in there, then this story wouldn't work so well.
Sure. So you've stripped away some of the gamification of it and kind of the challenge of it in favor of this experience, right?
Yeah, exactly. But still, I'm still like, we are thinking like the whole team is, if the platforming part was actually necessary, because we wanted to have like platformer as a proof of concept. Mm-hmm. That any kind of game could be stripped from those gameisms and turned into emotional stories, so like an emotional game. But I think that's really hard, because like people are, when they see platformer, they try to get something from this platformer that they are used to. And that was like pretty hard. And those who accepted that this is like a more experience than a game, they hadn't got a problem with that. So this is like the problem with the communication, is that we really didn't wanted to make another Mario.
Right.
And so this is something that we will probably struggle a lot more, because we will still investigate in this area and hopefully make those like serious games appear more and more. But yeah, it's right now we are having a lot of debates actually of like people's reactions. But I was telling you about just like one part of the game, about the like this the story wise and like emotional. But there is like a second part of the game that was designed from the very start, and this is like the speedrunning part. So the speedrunning part of Bound is very, very important, because it's like designed, like I will say it as one of the designs that's designed really well and it works perfectly. But we haven't reached to the speedrunning community like in the whole, But we currently we have a couple of speedrunners that are really dedicated to the game. It's like they said, it's like the best game that they played in ages. It's super designed, but it's designed for them in super hardcore way. So when you want to do those this platforming, you can really do it in a hardcore way that that involves like the puzzles that are extremely hard but extremely satisfying to solve. So basically we have those paths that like shorten the the game can be beaten in a shorter time than 2 hours, and currently it's like 35 minutes.
Oh wow.
But to get to this point, you need to figure out how to do it. And like when we are reading on the forums, like the trophy forums and so on, like the people got very, very dedicated to it. Like they can't sleep because they're thinking like how to solve that. And this is a puzzle that's actually very challenging and it's very new. So it brings joy, but it brings joy to just like 0.5% of of people that play it. So and actually that was an idea from the very start, because we were talking about it with Santa Monica, and they really liked this idea and they really liked to check it, because like Santa Monica makes those games also because they want to check new ideas that haven't been explored, and if they will not work perfectly, then they will just move to another idea, which is a really great in terms like how this studio works. So they really like this, like clear differentiation of two kinds of players, like super hardcore speedrunners and those emotional, like people that like were interested in journey and so on.
Right.
And they wanted to see how it works. But the thing is that they should be separated very, very good, like with a wall. So those casual players wouldn't see the paths for speedrunners, and speedrunners wouldn't bother by the story. And actually this didn't work so well, because it's really hard to make those paths in a way that people will not pursue them. And people actually started to explore a game differently than we thought, because they started to look around the walls and they started to walk into the paths which are really hard to pass through, because you need to wall jump or make a very precision jump, like for example make a roll jump and land on a 20 centimeter square. So okay. So this is something that we didn't expect that will go in that direction. But still, it was like a huge experiment, and overall there was a lot of things that went like really, really good, and a lot of things that we actually didn't suspect that would be so bad. So yeah. So as an experiment, it was a good project.
That kind of self-reflection that you're giving me, and that kind of self-analysis on the project, now that the project has, you know, you're a little bit removed from it. It's been out for a few weeks now. Mm-hmm. That's really cool to hear. It's kind of cool to hear how you guys as a studio are probably talking about what's working and what's not, and how you'll apply that to the next projects, I'm sure.
Yeah, that's a good question. So right now we are... So normally we were thinking about the next project during the development, but with Bound we still have the VR version to launch, and like because Bound will be available in VR, and VR is something that's that Bound is very unique, because when you will look at all the games that are being made in VR, they're mostly first person perspective game.
Sure.
Like 95% of them is like that. And we have like the third person perspective game. And we think that that VR is good for those kind of games. And like games like Uncharted and Tomb Raider, they can be easily. They can be transported to VR, but like there's like additional work to be done.
Mm-hmm.
But it still can be done without any nausea. So this was like our idea to check, because we were working on the trend. We had a little bit more experience than the studios that started to work on VR recently, because we were working with the Project Morpheus from the very, very, very start.
Sure, right.
And And we like figured out that maybe we should try to do this kind of camera that it was in Resident Evil, like the first one, and like those stationary cameras. And mm-hmm. we did it. But the problem was that we didn't want to put all those cameras by hand because it would kill us in terms of like making this and then testing it.
Mm-hmm.
So we figured out to make an automatic system for that. So the like camera would be picking like normally. And then when we tried it, so it's like, okay, that's cool. But the problem is that you have this really nice character, like a ballerina, and she's so nice to look from the like the short distance. And then we started to figure out how to make this like Resident Evil kind of camera, but in a way that you could control it. So you could rotate it and put it in around the character very easily. And this is something that actually works, and we've made like the recent test shown that's like there's no nausea in players, and they're like very surprised by that. And this is something that if you will have like access to PSVR kit, mm-hmm. then Bound is something to like cool to see, especially when you played the game for the first time, because it's like completely different in VR. It's like a completely different experience. Like, you're not the character. You're not like immersed as this character. You're also not a passive watcher like in movie, and you're a kind of narrator himself, like putting all those cameras around so you would see the story from the perspective you want. And that's something nice to experience.
Yeah, that's an interesting concept, kind of a unique approach to it. So we've obviously been talking a lot about it, but Bound is, of course, a platformer that's come out now on the PS4, and it was a digital release game. You play as a ballerina-type character kind of through this experience, as you've mentioned. Lots of different levels, lots of moving aspects in each level and in each world, but as you go into each level, depending on when you play them, throughout the game, they appear differently, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Was the thought behind that?
Yeah, so that was another experiment. So we are like experimenting with everything probably in that game. And one of the experiments that is like, for us, it's a complete win and complete failure is the ballerina. Because the ballerina was not added to the game from the very beginning. At first she was like a runner, and then we thought that it's like this character doesn't look any different than in other games, and it will be like really hard to showcase this, like get any interest of the media.
Interesting.
So I was like watching some movies, and my friend like was seeing the stream of movies from my friends, and I've seen one movie with the contemporary jazz. It was like a contemporary dancer. And I said, it's like, okay, so this dance is something like that shows the mindset of our character, like how she would feel. And then I said to the team, it's like, we should make a game with the dancer, like with the ballerina. And then we discovered that it's probably never been done before. And this is like when everything bursted, because like the media got so many attention with the dancer, like the ballerina mm-hmm. character. Mm-hmm. So we haven't worried about like being in any kind of media, because like everyone was writing about us and still writes, and in not game medias, but like around us, which is very nice. But the thing is that people get very, very hyped about the dancing concept. It's like they got hyped with No Man's Sky. So in our case, they got hyped with the dancing character. Like, there probably will be different kind of dances. There probably will be combo systems for the dances, or maybe there will be like unlockable dance or a dance skill tree.
Sure.
It's something that, and we knew from the very start that we don't have it. It's like the dance is just the aesthetic of the character. And like for regular gamers, it was a really a big downer, and this is something that we are like still struggling with. But on the other hand, I must say that right now the path is opened, so people seen the dancer and they seen it's like it's not implemented like they would implement it, so they can do it, and maybe there will be like games appearing with the dancer that will have this dancing trees, and that's good. So in this case it will work. But to get to your questions with the multiple passes on the levels, this is another thing which was the experiment, and it was like a super win and super fail at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And I will explain and this one because yeah, we are already like after a lot of talks in the studio. So
sure,
I'm
yeah.
like showcasing our like view about it. So the
no, this is great. This kind of inside look, that's fantastic.
Yeah, it's something that like people maybe they will learn something from that. Probably we are doing a lot of things without like, so we check a lot of games, like especially those unique ones to see what's going on in there. But probably we should sometimes constrain ourselves that some ideas may not work if you haven't seen them in any other game, because maybe someone checked them already and they found that there are flaws. So this is like something that we learn. And the idea behind like having those levels randomized, it's really, really nice, because first of all, you can like mix them in any kind of way, and if you will put the story inside and the story will mix, and when the story is balanced, then you may have a different story. But it's not like it will be 120 different stories, it will be 120 views on a story. So this is interesting, because after you will pass a game by yourself and you will talk with other people that pass the game, then you will may not agree on the story, because you will say that's like, ah, this character was bad person. And the other person will say, no, she was not bad, because I've seen it in this situation. So the idea was to check this Kuleshov effect, which works like if you will like put one sequence after another and like change the sequence, then you have a different outcome. So basically when you will see the character being bad as the last one, then you will think that she is the actual bad person. And this is something that we wanted to have, like those mix the story in a way that people will think that for them this character was a bad person. And this was something that really worked perfectly. The next thing that wanted to have is replayability. So you could check this, change these levels, and the weather, like let's call it the weather system, or the aesthetic system, will go on a different path. So you will be able to play the same level in a different like visual style. And in the end, you will have like each level viewed in like five different styles, and you have a lot of possibilities. And this is that works super, super nicely, because we have like thousands of pictures made by the players.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't recognize our game, that it looks so good and so nice, and we haven't seen those places, which is perfect. But now I will tell you the thing that that's not working. And we don't know how would we do to make it better. So the thing is that we have this very first level that you learn all the moves, and then you have five levels which have exactly the same difficulty, because they need to have the same difficulty, because they can be chosen in a different order, like any order.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why the learning curve is so bad, because it's like at first you learn and then it's like a flat. That's why you're like, if you're learning how to swim and someone would put you in a very deep water, it's like maybe you will swim there. It works like that. So you have this 20 minutes of very nicely built experience, and then you have flat difficulty curve, and you may like it, you may pass through it, or you may like be very frustrated because it may be too hard for you. So this is something that you have in exchange of those super nice things. And right now after thinking about it, it's really hard to get around it if you want to have these advantages. So this is like an axe that has like two blades. One works for you and one works not for you. So yeah, so that was like another experiment that's really interesting.
Interesting.
How it worked.
I gotta tell you, you're telling me all this stuff and I'm excited to see what your next big project is and kind of how this plays into it, all that you've learned from this kind of cool experience and experiment. Tell me just a little bit about working with Sony Santa Monica. You guys have worked with them in the past, but they appear to kind of have added you to their incubation mm-hmm. program, if that makes sense. Tell me a little bit about that.
So the incubation program like works in the best way when your studio is inside Santa Monica studio. So right now there's 10 gentlemen, but there was like that game company and Giant Sparrow.
Mm-hmm.
And for us, we were always outside. But there are all other studios that are also outside, like those who made Fat Princess or Hohokum guys. So it's not like that we are, or for example, the Chinese Room. So we are not the only one that works like remotely. But the incubation program is like something that they could concentrate on very, very deeply. So they have those guys like sitting in the next room so they can like run around and like discuss the design decisions and so on. But for us, it's like working with them was really, really nice because we had those like every week we had those Skype chats, like talking about like the design decisions and so on.
Sure.
So it's like Santa Monica, it's not like a traditional publisher that like present them the idea, then they market it and that's all. So I've heard a lot that's like when working with publisher, it's a pain because they try to change your things. And in Santa Monica, it's something that you can work with them and they will not change anything. Or you can work with them and they will change like a lot of things because you want them to change it. So we went with Bound. We were making this like the second, because with Datura, we were having like completely free hands and we were doing what we wanted. But mm-hmm. But then we said it's like in Bound there would be a lot of gaming stuff that we are don't feel too good about it. And then they started to help us. Like we were working with Seth Killian, which is like a very famous guy who's involved with the Evo event, like the fighting games.
Mm-hmm.
So he was like helping us with the speedrunning concepts, like getting us like to know the speedrunning community and like how the character should work. And he introduced me to Mario and so on. So this kind of like work was like very, very crucial. And for now, I think that it's like the best that we could get from them, like this knowledge. And when we like work in the future, I don't know what we'll be doing right now because we have like a lot of ideas and we need to like choose wisely because there's like more of those ideas to like to take a path. But because like each project takes us like 3 years, then we need to like pick up wisely so we'll not like lose that time.
Sure.
But still we still want to like work with Santa Monica or like other people that would like to share knowledge and that's good. But I understand that some developers like indie developers can have problems with publishers and that's why they are indie.
Yeah, fair enough. So obviously, you don't necessarily know what your next big project is going to be. It's a little too soon for that. But the next immediate thing for Plastic is Bound for PlayStation VR, right?
Yes.
So we've already talked about that just a little bit. But I guess I hope that goes really well for you. Obviously, you guys have been working with this kind of since the beginning, the early stages. You were strapping Move controllers to headsets. So Yeah, I'm excited to see how it turns out. Are you guys feeling pretty good about it so far? You kind of mentioned that the camera you were pretty happy with.
Yes, so the camera is like, we are pretty happy with it, but there is like a tiny problem with that we are like a bit of concerned. So the thing is that this camera works perfectly where you are inside the headset, but outside it's like a very, very jarring experience. So normally in VR you have this social screen, let's call it like that, so like other people could see you, how you work, like right. how you play in the headset. But when with this camera can be like very rapid. So it's not like you are moving from point A to B and change camera. You can change like this, click, 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 and then your screen starts to blink. And in VR, it doesn't matter because it's very, very comfortable, which is crazy because it's like a strobo in your eyes, but it's like a black strobo, not white.
Interesting.
But on a social screen, it's really crazy. And we are afraid that people will like ask questions like, why we did that camera? It works. But why did you make the normal camera that could move with the character? And the problem is that we actually heard those kind of words already. And then we had to like explain that if the camera will move after the character, then you will feel very, very sick. Sure. And that's really hard to explain if you don't know how the motion sickness works. That with motion sickness, the only thing that makes you sick is the acceleration. It's not the velocity, but the acceleration. So, for example, when you fly in the airplane, then you only feel the acceleration when you like start, like and when you land. And when you are in the middle of the flight, then you can walk in the plane, like left and right. And the only thing that you feel is those turbulences. If there wouldn't be any turbulences and the plane would remain at the very same velocity, then you wouldn't feel actually that you're moving. And this is like how your body works. So in terms of VR, there's like this different thing that you can see that the world is moving, but your body doesn't feel that it's moving. So you need to avoid it at any cost. And with those static cameras, there is no movement at all. But when you move the camera after the character, then there is a moment when the character goes from the zero velocity, like it's standing, and starts to walk. And this tiny moment of from zero velocity to start walking is the biggest problem that you can feel in VR.
Oh,
and that's why we've decided to cut it completely. There are other ideas that involve that you can like see the camera moving, but it will move in the same constant speed and low speed. It's, for example, the idea that 10 Gentlemen is doing with Hear the Lie, and they have a lot of ideas like to remove motion sickness, and I must say that we've taken a couple of their ideas, which is really good. And because they're in Santa Monica, so we could share those.
Oh, sure.
And but still we are afraid that people will don't get it because it's super unintuitive. It's like, why did you make normal camera? Because like I don't feel sick in this game, then probably if there would be normal camera, then I also wouldn't be sick. Yeah. So we heard that questions already, and that's a little bit frustrating for us because in perfect conditions there should be like recorded my face that answers that questions for every player. But the other camera we have is the first person perspective camera that it's presented in the memory reveal scenes, like the memories. And we also have this blinking camera, like with the static movements. It's, I don't know if you remember that a long time ago, there were these games like RPG games where you're moving like on the tiles, like click, click, click. For example, Dungeon Master, Eye of Beholder, Ishar, these kind of games. And you were like popping. Oh, for example, last time there was a Legend of Grimrock.
Okay.
So this game was using this very old school type of moving on tiles. And we are doing the same in VR, but in a very rapid way. So it's like click, 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 and you see blink of lights, like blink of light, of black, 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 in this speed, like black, 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 black. And it works. So we can move very fast. But in like normal first-person perspective movement. But from the outside, it's very, very unintuitive. It's like, why are you doing this? Like, shooting this, like throwing this, making this strobo effect, and it doesn't make you any like motion sickness at all. So this is something that we like put everything on one card, like to remove all the motion sickness that we can remove. And I know that we did it, but I don't know if people will accept it. Because there are some people that can take some of the motion sickness in favor of like having this normal game effect in VR. So this is something that probably will it will take couple of years to have one system that's like perfect. Like for example now it's like first person camera is like pretty working the same in every game, and that's probably will take some time to have this like walking, like moving in VR solved.
Right, figuring out the standards. Yeah.
Yeah, so figuring the standard. That's the good word.
It's gonna be fascinating to find out. Thank you so much for sharing all of that. That was extremely insightful. So at the end of every episode, whenever I'm interviewing somebody, I have them gather up all their past experience and their stories and share with me and with the audience what some advice would be that they would share to the indie developers out there that are listening, who are looking for something inspirational and looking for some guidance.
Yeah, that's a good question, like to ask me like when I'm so fresh after finishing the project.
Yeah.
So I see like that a lot of like developers, like a small teams, are struggling with getting into the press, and they're like going to these different events, like PAX, for example, or E3 or whatever, to get to like to meet the press for the second, in hope that they will write a little bit about them. And in our case, it was like pretty straightforward that like most, like a lot of news outlets wrote about us without us getting like to them directly. And it's not, yeah, we were working with Sony Santa Monica, so that's like a huge plus. But I think that's that the thing that that helped us a lot was that our game looks completely different than most of the games. And what I would do if I would be like an indie developer, it's like I'm close to that, but if I would be starting in developer, is like to look outside of the box of the games, like trying to find different things in the world, for example, like the art, or for example the sports. Because we are like, when we are designing the character, we are also taking the gymnastics moves or the ski, like the Olympic skiing. So like look outside of the box of the games and then try to put it into your game. So you will have just one tiny unique thing that media will get interested in, because media got interested in those things that they haven't seen or read about it yet. And this is a good start. But the problem is that if you hype them too much about it, then you will be punished with the whip. But still it's something that it's good to invest your time and like effort in that. So not make like making the whole game very unique is something like very hard, and it takes a lot of time and research. But if you concentrate on, like, for example, like character design, or for example on look of the world, or how the world sounds, then you will get some media attention for, let's say, for free, because they will be interested in your project. Sure. And if they will be interested in your project, then the project needs to be good, so they will be talking about it in a, like, with the good words. But this is like the first step that I would suggest, like, small studios to do. And then if people will listen to me, then we'll have a variety of new things coming.
That would be awesome. That'd be great. All right. Well, thank you so much for sharing. I really appreciate that. Of course, you listeners have been listening to the Black Shell Media presented podcast, Indie Insider. Of course, if you want to reach out to the podcast, you want to hear something special, email me at logan@blackshellmedia.com or find me on Twitter at Logan A. Schultz. Of course, I've been talking to Michael Staniszewski. Did I say that right? That's pretty good. All right. I've been talking to Michael here from Plastic. He just came out with Bound a few weeks ago. That is, of course, on PlayStation. And Michael, how do people find you? How do people find Plastic and follow your upcoming projects?
It's like the best, like, is to use Twitter. It's like @plastic, the Plastic Demo. And that's the best way to find us. So we like concentrated mostly on this kind of communication. It works pretty well for us. And other than that, we like have this like very old website and that's it. So yes, we have this, we are lucky that we don't need to go to publishers. They come to us. And this is something that not too many studios can rely on. But, like I said before, it's like concentrate on your work and try to do something that will be very refreshing and unique, like a twist in mechanics, for example, or a twist in character design, any kind of this, and you will be there. So to follow us, it's like the best, it's the way, the best way is to use Twitter. Yeah, and that's mostly it.
Go follow these guys on Twitter. And of course, you guys were working with Sony Santa Monica as well in their incubation program. So go follow Sony Santa Monica as well and some of the other incubated indie projects out there. Of course, if you want to check out
10 Gentlemen. Currently, there's 10 Gentlemen and check out their work. And they already announced their game. And yeah, I'm pretty excited about it.
Very cool. If you want to check out Plastic's new game, Bound, that is on the PlayStation Network, it is $19.99. Give it a look. It is, as he said, it's kind of a great experience, very artful. It's fitting with the Plastic mission. So, Michael, thank you so much for talking to me today. I really appreciate it.
Hey, thank you. It was really nice to talk to you.